Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, that's 12 to 3 Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
I read this from Brian Windhorst. The Chinese Basketball Association, seen by many sports leagues as the trial balloon for recovery from the coronavirus crisis, has delayed its restart, according to multiple reports and confirmed by ESPN. The league had hoped to begin by April 15th, following about 11 weeks of being shut down, but won't attempt to resume until May after failing to get government approval, according to reports from China. Now, it should be pointed out that we don't know the reasons that they're not able to get up and running. When you say we can't get government approval, could it be because there are health risks? Sure. Could it be because China's economy had been shut down and they feel like it's more important to get China's economy up and running before they start putting on basketball games? That's also a possibility. We don't know exactly why. But there is the trial balloon out there. And so as if they thought they were going to get going April 15th and they don't get going until May 15th, and people have wondered aloud, hey, can the NBA get going by May 1st, June 1st, whatever? You get June 1st, can you still get the playoffs in the summer before football begins? I've offered up, and this is based some upon just using your brain, some upon listening to Jared Dudley, was on going with the Odd Couple going back a couple days ago. And some of it is in talking to people. Like, we are there's going to be a point where it's like the drop ad date in college. Any college kids, listening? You know, you get to a point where you're like, all right, well, either you got to try and get it up to a C or a B, or you just drop the class. That's where we are with the NBA season. We're not there yet. We're creeping up on that drop ad date. Creeping up on it. Because we're at March 25th, April 1st is right around the corner, and as much as the president yesterday was like, hey, what about Easter? Maybe we'll, like, people shot that down in a heartbeat. The unintended consequences of this shutdown could be that we lose the entire NBA season. Now, there's some other, even more ancillary unintended consequences. My guess is we're not going to have a WNBA season. Right? If we have an NBA season in the summer, we're not going to have a WNBA season. Not just because of arenas, and many of the WNBA teams don't use those arenas, but who is going to go when you have NHL, NBA, Major League Baseball? So if you have an NBA season, you probably don't have a WNBA season. That becomes, and you still might not have a WNBA season. You might. This was Mavericks owner Mark Cuban talking to WFAA about the NBA potentially returning this season.
The over-under would be June 1st, and I'm taking the under. Then hopefully by middle of May, we're starting to get back to normal, and the NBA is playing games, maybe not with fans, but we're playing games because sports play such an important role. You know, people want something to cheer for. People want something to rally around. People want something to be excited about. And if the Mavs and the NBA in general can get out there and start playing games in May so that they're on TV, I mean, sports is what we need right now. And I think sports will, you know, I think we're coming together as a community, particularly in North Texas. But I think we need it. And I think the NBA is ready to play that role.
I don't think he's wrong. I just think you get to where, you know, how do you do it? You got players that have the virus. To get the TV cameras to broadcast these things, at some point there's going to have to be a TV truck feeding back into a TV studio, which has a control room. Just the realities of it are a lot more difficult. And you have these facilities being totally shut down for a month, at least. And now all of a sudden you're sitting there going like, wait. We just got shut down. We're not back in there till May. We're not playing till middle of June. Once you get at some point, there's the drop ad date. But let's for a second offer up this as a possibility that we don't have another NBA game. Do we understand the unintended consequences of it? You make it prohibitively more difficult for LeBron James to win a championship with the Lakers. Because this was a bridge year for the Golden State Warriors. This is a bridge year for the Brooklyn Nets, who are waiting on the return of Kevin Durant, and now Kyrie Irving as well. And the Lakers, one thing it might help is I don't see Anthony Davis leaving as a free agent, which he could do. Like, the only way he would have left is they would have had some disastrous outcome in the playoffs, and AD just didn't dig playing alongside LeBron James, because you know what happens in the playoffs. If things go bad, somebody else gets the blame. If things go well, LeBron gets the credit. That's the way it works. So because there was you're leaving on a high note with the best record in the West and hopes of the playoffs and playing really good basketball and just having beaten the Clippers, just having beaten the Bucks, like, you're feeling really good about yourself. I don't think it affects it. Could they help their roster out? Sure. But let's not forget Steph, Clay, Draymond, and the new additions to their team would and a potential number one overall draft pick or trading that draft pick. Like, the Warriors will be back. I'll give you another one is I think it would really hurt the Bucks, because now the Bucks would have to go all in on just 1 year to keep Giannis. Giannis could be, as soon as the season is declared over, he'll be offered the Supermax extension, and he probably won't sign it. Most of those guys don't sign it, leave their options open. Maybe he does. But this was the next year. This was supposed to be a year in which the Bucks could prove they could win a championship, so why would Giannis ever have to leave? Now there is no proof of that. They're still great in the regular season, and nobody knows in the postseason. Think about it. LeBron would be less likely to win a title in L.A. He's going to be a year older, and the competition would likely be better. Right? Like, Dallas was just kind of getting in and figuring out and getting together. They were more focused on next year and the year after that to win a championship, right? The Rockets are always making wild decisions. They're stuck with Russell Westbrook for a couple more years. They got James Harden. They'd probably fire Mike D'Antoni if the year is done, but they're still going to be essentially what they are. Kind of a nuisance, super talented, wannabe, but they're not good enough. Portland, a team that they lost Zach Collins, and the Carmelo thing was fine. They were disappointing, but they'll probably reconfigure and they'll be better next year. Utah was starting to figure it out. Denver, Dallas will be better. See what San Antonio is able to do. Does Greg Popovich coach another NBA game? But the Lakers were in prime position. The Clippers, they hadn't played. Their big thing with the Clippers is Clippers haven't played together a ton. Now they would get an additional year to play together to get ready and load up and play the Lakers in the playoffs. And they would have that cohesion of Paul George and Kawhi Leonard and the rest playing together. If the season were to be canceled, I think it hurts LeBron, and I think it hurts the Bucks more than anybody else. Because the Bucks wanted to prove to Giannis over the next 2 years that they could win a championship. Why would you ever have to leave? Now one of those years is gone. LeBron James signed a 4-year contract. He may want to stay, but his window was really, these next 3 seasons, especially these middle two, and now he may have lost a year. The Warriors will be better. The Clippers will be more cohesive. The Celtics will be a year older and healthier and more cohesive. It could be me. I think these are two teams with the two best records, had great opportunities to take advantage of a down year in the NBA at the top. And now they may not be able to. Again, none of this is important in the grand scheme of things in comparison to fighting the coronavirus and social distancing. I'm with Mark Cuban. I think playing sports on TV is important. Giving somebody something to cheer for is important. But we do get to the point of reality of, hey, man, we don't have an NCAA tournament. Baseball is still several months away. At some point, we got to call it, because if we don't call it with the NBA, now we're starting. Everything gets pushed back late. And as much as you can say, hey, it's no big deal to push it back late, there's some of these guys that do want to play in the Olympics next year. And if the Olympics are going to, at the exact same time, the NBA playoffs, you're not going to get any of the elite players. But start to think about the possibility if they decide we can't do it, let's just cancel the season, start over next October. it really hurts LeBron James' ability to win multiple titles or even win a title in L.A., and it does the same thing. Got to hurt the Bucks' ability to prove to Giannis this is a place he should stay his entire career.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It feels like Burrow and Tua are closer to Mariota and Winston than they are to... Come here real quick. Oh, let me ask. As my son Hasey's left-handed, what do they call it when your hand drags when you're writing and you get ink on your hand? Or
silver sulfur syndrome.
What is it? Silver what?
Silver sulfur syndrome.
Wow, that is really hard. Silver sulfur syndrome.
Yes.
And it's only for left-handers?
Yes.
Because your hand drags, you know, it, because
at the lead when you write.
Right. This wouldn't happen if you actually learned how to write in Hebrew, because Hebrew goes right to left. I don't know if you know that.
I knew that.
How is distance learning treating you?
Good.
Okay, go back to class.
Okay, bye.
All right. That's Hayes Gottlieb. Silver sulfur syndrome. I don't know if that's an actual... Somebody look that up and see if that's what it's actually called. Anyway, it feels like Burrow and Tua, look, they're really good players. People forget how lusted upon Mariota was, how lusted upon Jameis Winston was. And there's a difference here, because I think because Winston doesn't currently have a job, people say, well, he's a bust. I don't think Jameis Winston's a bust. I mean, obviously, he did another stupid thing off the field, which caused him to get suspended. But he threw 30 touchdown passes, over 5,000 yards. Like, he's been productive. Mariota had taken the Titans to the playoffs. He had got hurt. He had a bunch of offensive coordinators. They're still going to be believers that both these guys can be fixed. Not complete bust, but never really popped. And I just wonder if that's what we're going to get from both. Because Tua, yes, he does things unconventionally. But he keeps getting tackled. And he's gotten hurt 3 times in college. It's all because guys catch him. If they catch you in college, they're sure as hell going to catch you in the pros. He's just not that much of have any sort of elusiveness as an athlete. And this is a great take. This is what Albert Breer from MMQB said about Tua's injuries in comparison to other quarterbacks who've been injured in college.
It isn't just the hip. The guy had 2 ankle surgeries. He got hurt in high school a bunch. Like, so there's a serious durability question. You know, if you want to look at track record of quarterbacks coming into the NFL, almost uniformly, guys who had major injuries in college over the last decade got hurt again in the pros when you're talking about the first rounders, right? Sam Bradford in 10, Jake Locker in 11, Robert Griffin in 12, Marcus Mariota in 15, Carson Wentz in 16, Deshaun Watson in 17. All those guys had major injuries in college. All those guys got hurt again in the pros.
Really,
and so that's the other piece of it, is that it's not just one injury. It's a history of injuries.
Yes, you have one guy who has a history of injuries, and he's left-handed, and he's a little bit undersized. You have another guy who, a little bit older, and came out of nowhere and had the greatest season anybody's ever seen before in their life. And now he's going to go to the Bengals. Here's Joel Klatt on The Herd yesterday discussing Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow reminds me of Joe Montana. When Joe Montana played the game, he played with a smoothness in his feet and a surgical approach mentally attacking the defense that at that point was beyond reproach. He had no peer at that point in the way that he played. Burrow is similar to that. He's so smooth. The basketball background, the absolute competitive nature that you see when he gets hit and bounces back, the surgical nature in which he sees the weaknesses in the structure of the defense, and then he goes out and attacks them. I love Joe Burrow, man.
That's obvious. You start throwing around Mahomes and Joe Montana for these guys, and everybody's like, really? We just, a little bit of it, we want football so badly, we want sports so badly, we got to catch our breath a bit.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Patriots are not going to acquire Deshaun Watson because the Texans are not trading Deshaun Watson. Okay, let's go back here. First of all, Bill O'Brien, and we know he comes from the Patriots cloth. The Patriots are their nemesis. They're not trading Deshaun Watson to their nemesis. A guy who everybody thinks has kind of that it quality. I don't know if Deshaun Watson is as good as his reputation, but his leadership and his ability to make plays is as good as his reputation. Like, he just and his toughness has never been questioned, right? Like, collapsed lung, takes a car, plays in Jacksonville, plays through stuff. You know, remember this year he couldn't see, he throws that touchdown pass. Like, that dude's tougher than $2 steak. He's tough, he can lead, he can play, he's taking his team to the playoffs, they've beaten good teams. He's a good player. They're not, he's their franchise quarterback. Not only they're not trading their franchise quarterback, they're not trading their franchise quarterback to the Patriots. If you're following Twitter for some sort of breadcrumbs as to where Deshaun Watson wants to play, first of all, the idea that Deshaun Watson wants to play for the Patriots instead of the Texans is kind of silly. Second of all, the idea that the Texans would trade him to the Patriots when they're clearing out some of this money so that they can pay Deshaun Watson is silly. It's not crazy to think that if he forced a trade, they would trade him. It is crazy to think they would trade him to the Patriots. That's the last thing they'll do. So I feel like people read into social media what they want to. I have no idea if that's what he meant at the time about them splitting up duos, if he's really ticked off, if he liked the comment or liked the comment. Don't know. But I know making judgments based upon where Deshaun Watson wants to or will play a year from now, based upon a tweet and liking of another tweet, is just silly. You know, people are just locked inside, bored as hell, and they're looking at their phones. And they just, you know, they take, this is their only connection with the outside world is social media, is social media. Plus, you know, they're acting like Bill O'Brien is a complete idiot. Now, remember, he caught a bunch of heat for the Jadeveon Clowney trade when he franchise tagged Jadeveon Clowney. Clowney won a long-term deal. He didn't want a long-term deal. Right? Do you guys remember that? That was before this past season. And as much as you could sit there and go, Jadeveon Clowney's a good player. He's a good player. Will he ever be as good as his reputation that preceded him? The answer is likely no. And O'Brien has somehow gotten into this kind of Belichick where he calls all the shots there. But, you know, like we can make it out like we think he's an idiot, but it's obvious that the ownership group does not. And if Clowney was so great, why doesn't he have multiple offers right now? Don't give me this. He's coming off of hernia surgery. Stop it. He saw in Clowney exactly what everybody else sees in Clowney. A guy who's super talented, but wants to be paid like one of the elite players, and he's just not consistent enough to be paid like one of the great elite players. You know, Bill O'Brien's last 2 years, they've won 21 games combined. He has been the head coach there for 6 years. 4 of those 6 years, they've won the division. And 1 year, they won the division with Brock Osweiler as their quarterback. 1 year with Brian Hoyer as his quarterback. Now he's got Deshaun Watson, and after losing him to an injury 2 years ago, they won 21 games over the last 2 years. The biggest problem was their offensive line, and he went out and got a star left tackle last year. And they drafted one 2 years ago, right? Like he's not an idiot. He's set and they needed to solidify the running back position. They got a running back who's really good on a 1 year deal. Are they overpaying him? Possibly. But David Johnson can play. And if he thinks he can play in his system and get the most out of him and he's got fresh legs because he hasn't been used much the last 2 years, even better. Look, he's been the coach there for 6 years. They've won 9-9-9-4, and that was the year that Watson got hurt. 11-10, and you can say what you want about Jacksonville being bad. Indy hadn't been bad the whole time, and Tennessee's been right about there. They've been the best team in the division 4 of the last 5 years, and 4 of the 6 years that he's been there. We act like Bill, he's not an idiot. Not trading away a franchise quarterback he's only had for a couple years. No, he's trying to operate in under the, how do I protect this guy so he's our quarterback for 15 years? I got to fix the line. I got to fix the running game because that gives him time. And Deshaun Watson can make other wide receivers look extraordinary if he's given time and if he's given a running game. A running game and a line is a quarterback's best friend. What do you think Bill O'Brien's trying to do? So I know we're freaking out about the DeAndre Hopkins trade. But it does feel, the fact that New England needed a wide receiver and didn't go after him because they knew too much tells you there's another side of the DeAndre Hopkins thing that is not as pretty as the portrait that has been painted for us time and again about who DeAndre Hopkins is and how he rolls. Guy didn't practice all the time, and I get it. Like, Brandon Whedon's a friend of mine. He's like, I can't believe they traded him. But he didn't practice all the time, and he clearly wants a huge, huge contract. And you're the Texans, you're sitting there going like, wait, he might be on the wrong side of his career. He wants a bigger contract. He doesn't practice all the time, and I still have to pay my left tackle and my quarterback. We're going to move on from that.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Let's get Daniel Jeremiah in here. Of course, you'll see him on the NFL Draft, on the NFL Network. How are you guys going to be in your house? Are you going to be at the NFL Network headquarters? What is the preliminary plan as of now?
I think it's still up in the air. I think it's really, it sounds like one of those two options right now, Doug. So I'm prepared. I'm prepared to do the draft in sweatpants, flip-flops, coat and tie, you know, from home. So if that's what it takes, if that's what it comes down to, then
that's what it takes. I'm willing to do it for the team. Only for coronavirus, not for anybody else. It is one of those things, and I've seen more and more people working from home, like, why didn't I do this to begin with? Why are we?
You know what? What's funny is I've talked to so many people in all different walks of life, not just in the football community, but so many people I've talked to, agents, all kinds of people. So you know what? I don't know if I really need an office. Like, I've really kind of figured out how to function like this. It's kind of nice being home, and I don't feel like I'm doing my job any worse than I was before, and maybe save some people some money with this. So, I mean, look, obviously it's a tough situation for everybody, you know, with the country, and you want people to be safe, and you don't want anybody to be sick. But I do think there are people realizing that some of these jobs, you feel like you've got to be in the office. It's not necessarily the case.
Yep, I agree with you. Technology is making it easier and easier and easier. All right, let's start with the Tua video. Do you have any takeaway from Tua training with Trent and the movement we saw on social media yesterday?
Well, my first reaction was I was kind of shocked just because I thought, you know, they'll release a video of him just playing catch and, you know, real just kind of gingerly moving around, but he was almost looked like just full throttle the way he was dropping back, and there was a lot of urgency and crispness to his movement. You know, that's one of his best traits is just how twitched up he is. And I thought just watching that little video, it was like, whoa, okay, he's moving really well. Now, the only caution I would have is that, you know, that doesn't tell us, you know, what the likelihood of him getting hit and re-injuring the hip is. You're not going to see that in a video. But in terms of watching him move around and throw in that little clip, it seemed to me like he was in a pretty good spot. Now you have to trust your medical people on the likelihood of recurrence. I mean, that's what it all comes down to.
How would you evaluate Tua as of now?
Well, I would have him, you know, right now, just watching him move would be very encouraging. As a player, you know, taking the fact that he's completely 100% healthy, if you can make that assumption, I still would have him behind Joe Burrow. But I think right now, like, I have to do an update next week, I believe, in my top 50. And people might think I'm crazy, but just seeing him move around in that video, I think he's my seventh guy right now, Doug. I'll probably move him up a couple spots because I love him as a player. The injury is what's kind of keeping him pushed down a little bit. And I was looking for any sign of encouragement, and I'll take what I saw as an encouraging sign. I'll probably move him up a couple spots.
There have been people who have said, the Chargers and Cam Newton make a lot of sense. The people I talked to with the Chargers have not offered up any of that. When I asked about Cam Newton, this is going back a couple months ago, they're like, you know, he runs, but he doesn't run nearly as much as he used to, and he's had a bunch of injuries. In the pocket, he's not really a progression guy. He's never been crazy accurate. And he was set to make 19. He's going to want a contract extension, multiple years. Is he bought into being a backup? We bring in a younger guy. He's like, we got Tyrod Taylor, who the same head coach was the play caller when they went to the playoffs in Buffalo. I don't think they're really interested in Cam. Do you think they should be?
I would agree with you, and I don't think it's a great fit there. I think if you're going to put the plan in place for the Chargers right now, the best plan And I would even say this over getting Tom. Now, I know what Tom would have meant on the business side. I don't refute that. And that would have been fun to have him with the Chargers. But if you're saying what's the best long-term plan for sustained success for this team, it's going to be whoever you pick in this draft. So who do you want to be around with that player? And I think Tyrod is a good guy to have in that spot. And they also like the fact Tyrod's not going to turn the ball over. So if you've got a chance to load up on your defense, which is really, really talented, keep games close, I think you have a chance to compete for a playoff spot, especially considering there's an extra one this year with Tyrod Taylor in year one before handing the reins off or over to whoever you draft with the sixth pick for the, for the next decade plus. I think that's the best plan for them going forward.
Who do they want?
I just keep pointing to Tua just for everything he would bring. I think Burrow's is not reachable, so I would cross him off the list. But Tua, to me, in terms of being that face of the franchise, energize everybody, get your organization, your fan base, everybody excited, and somebody that can play at a high level, to me, that would be the one that would make the most sense, that would be the home run pick.
So you'd have to, what, trade with Detroit, you think?
I think three would be the spot. I mean, I would probably start calling the two. You know, I can't imagine the Redskins would trade off of an opportunity to get Chase Young, but I would tend to be aggressive. Now, everything that we know, they were very aggressive in their push for Tom Brady. So they've got an opportunity now to channel that aggression in a different way, and I would imagine it'll get channeled toward this pursuit of Tua.
What do you think of the Tom Brady fit in Tampa?
He's going to be fine there because they have good players around him offensively. It's a good creative offense with Bruce Arians. I know a lot of people have focused on it being a real vertical passing game. To me, it's not the scheme. It's how the personnel matches him. And while I love all those receivers they have down the field and the tight ends are good, but they don't have that pass catching back that he's always had. They don't have that quick, sudden, get open right now receiver that's going to give him some of those easy completions, those easy layups. Not saying that Tom can't push the ball down the field, but this is how he's played for the last, 15 years, save for a couple seasons with Randy Moss. So I don't think it's the scheme that I worry about. I think they've got to find a way in this draft to get a pass catching back and to get somebody that can be kind of a quicker, get open right now type player to complement the two big receivers they have.
You mean like Edelman, Welker,
correct.
Amendola,
correct.
Those type of guys. That's the part, like, I don't. It's like, wait, have we not watched him play in New England, right? Like he's a deadly accurate dink and dunk, find the mismatch somewhere within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage guy. And I don't that's not what this roster currently has. And the idea of, well, you can draft a back. Drafting a back is really hard. It's really because oftentimes they're not that well-rounded. Guys that can run are not guys that can catch. It's a different sport, college to pro.
Well, there's one home run back for them. Like, to me, if you were looking at it, if they could get Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the second round, he's the best pass-catching back in this draft and has got a lot of experience of moving around the formation at LSU and catching a lot of footballs. Like, for lack of a better word, that's the home run second-round pick for Tom Brady, is to somehow find a way to get that kid.
What do you think of Teddy Bridgewater in Carolina?
I like it. I don't think he's going to be the quarterback there for the next 10 years, but I think it does buy him a little bit of time. And Matt Rhule has always, everywhere he's gone the slow rebuild route. And I think, prepare yourself for kind of a down year, maybe even a down couple years. But Teddy, if you're losing some ball games while he's revamping this whole organization, is going to be a positive force on the team who's going to echo Joe Brady's message offensively as well as Matt Rhule's message. So to me, I thought it was a great fit for somebody to try and guide him through what I anticipate will be a tough couple years here.
If the Patriots are no longer the dominant team in the AFC East, does that open up the Bills now they add Stephon Diggs, or is it the Jets who are 7-2 with Sam Darnold?
Well, I still think it'd probably be the Bills. I think the Jets, I'm bullish on the Jets long-term. The problem this year is that the Jets in the previous regime spent so much money, and you can argue the merits of whether it was money well spent last year, that this year was never going to be a big free agency year for them. So, Joe Douglas went out and signed five offensive linemen. you lose Robbie Anderson, but then you go out and you replace him with somebody that can run. Why am I blanking on his name down there from Bashad Perriman?
Yep.
And so this year is not going to be the big addition year for them. I think it's, can you get the offensive line fixed first and foremost? I think you'll see Sam take a step forward. And then I think when you look 1 year from now, when they have, then they're freed up in free agency to really, really ramp up around Sam and get him some help. I think that's the Jets' year. So I think the Jets are a 500-ish type team this year. But I think they've got the upside 1 year from now to really, really take this thing off.
This is a wide receiver deep draft. Jerry Jeudy is, by many people's estimation, the number one wide receiver. You got C.D. Lamb. You got Henry Ruggs, who we know is just a freak athlete. Justin Jefferson will be a first-round pick. You got the kid from Arizona State as well. Where's let's just start with the elite wide. Is Jerry Jeudy heads and tails the best in by your estimation?
No, I have him as a second guy, so I have CeeDee Lamb ahead of him. And I've had a lot of conversations. It's the one thing about all these GMs being stuck at home right now, Doug, is that they don't have people, you know, walking in their office all day long, so you get a lot more time to talk to people like me. So I've had a chance to talk to a bunch of guys, and there is, people are all over the map. And everybody agrees. They think all these receivers are going to be really good. It's really kind of a flavor thing. And CeeDee Lamb to me was what he does after the catch and his ability to play a little bit bigger, was the reason why I had him over Jerry Jeudy. Jerry Judy's a better route runner. Jerry Jeudy's a little more sudden. And then Henry Ruggs, I've talked to two teams in the last 24 hours that have Henry Ruggs as the top receiver in the draft. So, you know, there's teams that have T. Higgins is like my fifth or sixth receiver. You know, he's a really good player. He's my 28th player. They have him as the second receiver in the draft. You know, I love the Arizona State kid. I mean, Doug, it's absolutely ridiculously loaded this year.
J.K. Dobbins, you didn't mention him as the premier. Like, he dominated that championship game. He was the best player on the field, and he can catch it out of the backfield. What is your perspective of he versus a DeAndre Swift as a running back getting ready for the league?
Yeah, I think Swift is a little more fluid, a little more elusive. I love the way J.K. runs, man. He is no nonsense. He's a power runner who's got top end speed. You know, he dropped a couple balls in that Clemson game.
He did.
I think he kind of got crushed for that. But when you study him on the whole, he's got good hands. He picked a bad time to miss on two balls, but I think you get a little bit just more fluid of an athlete and a smoother athlete, and it's going to help him in the passing game with DeAndre Swift. So that's why I have Swift over him. And then don't sleep on the kid at Wisconsin either.
Jonathan Taylor. I was going to ask. So Jonathan Taylor, what is the issue that people don't know if he can catch it out of the backfield? Is the issue in pass pro? Why is he not more widely regarded?
Well, as you can imagine, he didn't get a lot of reps in pass pro. At Wisconsin, he actually, they use him in the screen game, so he's got some production catching the ball, but not a lot of him running routes. It's just a lot of screens. So the biggest thing is him developing in pass protection. He just hadn't had much experience at it, but he's a home run hitter at almost 230 pounds. So it's a really good group of running backs too, man. If you need a skill player on offense, it's a great year.
It's also a good year with offensive line, and I mean, how many times have we gotten it now? It's going to be interesting to see how these guys, you know, how quickly they can get up to speed, changing from the college scheme to the like the kid from Iowa, because they are more of a traditional team, that will that help him in his Tristan Wirfs, is that, will that help him in his assimilation to the NFL?
Oh, I think just the fact that he's been coached by Kirk Ferentz, for 3 years is going to help. I mean, it's as good as it gets in terms of coaching offensive line. So that's going to help him. But I mean, I think when you look at these other guys now, Becton's just a physical freak from Louisville. Like, he's a rare, rare specimen.
6'7", 370.
Yeah.
And a freak athlete. Yes.
And he can move. So that's, to me, why I have him as the top guy. And then you talk about being well coached and doing in some pro style program. When you look at Wills from Alabama, he's in that same boat. So it's a good group. It is a good group of tackles, man. That first, four or five guys, you're going to see them fly off the board because so many of these teams are terrible at tackle. That's why they're picking up so high.
How come Nathan Stanley is not more highly regarded?
He's got a strong arm. There's like, I want to say the Michigan game was terrible. Like there's some really bad tape, and then you see the bowl game against USC, and he's, you know, you can see some things to be encouraged by. He's big and strong. I don't think he's a great athlete. I don't think he's a great touch thrower. I think it sounds terrible, but I think if it was 10 years ago, you would see him be more highly valued than he is today. Just he's not going to be able to do a lot of the movement stuff that teams look for right now.
Whereas Jalen Hurts 10 years ago would have to change positions, and now people are like, man, maybe a starter.
Yep, I think that's a fair point. And Jalen Hurts is somebody I think is really climbing up through the spring, who, you know, threw the ball really well at the combine, obviously tested well, and then everything I was told, you know, his interviews with teams went very well. You know, son of a coach, guys are always going to love that because they know how to handle themselves in those environments.
Tight end position. Kolk Met, is he your number one tight end?
Yeah, it's not a good year for tight ends. He's the only tight end I have as a top 50 player, and I put together, was working through my top 200 players the other day, and I'm only going to have three tight ends in my top 100 players.
Why is that?
It's just a down year. I mean, you just have it. And think about free agency. It's all married, right? Look, yeah. Who was the first free agent to go? It was Hooper. Broke the bank. You know, Jason Witten getting, you know, $4 or $5 million. I mean, all these tight ends went off the board. Boom, 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 boom. Because this draft class just isn't very good there.
All right, let's circle back to the quarterbacks. I started the show saying, look, I like Tua and I like Burrow. But you're starting to hear Burrow, Joe Klatt's like Montana. And there's a scout that says Tua is a left-handed Mahomes. And I just, look, we're all getting excited. There's no sports on. We're all kind of confined here. Would you compare him to those guys or more to Winston and Mariota?
No, I have him. I have him above the Winston Mariota group. I would say, to me, and the comp thing is difficult, and I've talked to Joel about this, and I'm actually one of the ones who brought it up to him about Joe Montana, because I've talked to older scouts who scouted Montana, and I told Joel, I said, some of these old guys say this is exactly what Montana looked like. So there are some similarities there, and I've even said, look, I'm not comparing him to Tom Brady, but if you just watch mechanically and they've worked with the same guy, like mechanically, Joe Burrow throws a football like Tom Brady does. Tom Brady has a much stronger arm. But that's like mechanically what they look like. There's no perfect comp. But I think both these guys have got a chance to be really, really good players at the next level for a long period of time. And they do it in their unique ways. It's not, you know, they aren't Carson Wentz type, you know, physically imposing, impressive guys. But they're just darn good football players.
All right. We can't wait next time, if we receive word that you're doing it from home, we got to start to have the what flip-flops do I wear, what sweatpants do I wear conversation. The shirt and the tie probably provided by the NFL Network or some sort of stylist, but we can pick out the flip-flops. Is that cool?
That's great. If I don't get a Reef deal out of this, I'm going to be really disappointed.
What about rainbows? You ever tried the rainbow sandals?
No, I have not. I've not had the rainbows. So I need to try those out?
You do.
Okay.
They need to be broken in. It takes them a while to break in, but then they kind of mold your feet. The leather Reef sandals.
Don't the Reef ones have like the bottle opener on the bottom though?
They do. Yes. Is that something you need in your sandals?
I don't drink, but I just still think it's really cool.
You don't drink at all?
Don't drink at all. Nope.
What have you been doing here during the day?
This is Matt Money Smith, because Matt Money Smith is. When we go on you know, travel trips with the Chargers, it works out quite well for Money, because he gets my supply as well, and I just order a ginger ale. So I'm just here to serve Money. That's all I'm here to do.
Okay, there's Olu Kai. You need to try Olu Kai sandals, and you try some rainbow sandals. Put them in a rotation. Decide which between those three. There's some others as well that I can. I'm a big flip flop guy. I have a good. It depends upon your foot and your styling.
That's because all your time back east, you didn't get to wear them, man. So
I still wore them. I still wore them more than I should, but yes, you are accurate. Anyway, great stuff. Thanks so much for joining us.
Later.